All right, Chabosai, good morning. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors, Avraham Shindy Kalman, with the hope and tefillah that the month of Av will emerge Hashem be filled with joy and the eternal Beis HaMikdash. We have a week of learning sponsor, the Ringo and Ram families, and the merit of a Rafuah Shalema for Rachel Batya Bas Leah, Rachel Fine, who's having surgery today. The day of learning is also dedicated today by Mr. and Mrs. Stanley and Cynthia Ringo, in the merit of a Rafuah Shlema for their granddaughter, for Rachel Batya Bas Leah. And Dafyomi today is dedicated by Natan and Leah Berry, in memory of Moshe Yitzchak ben Asher Zelig, on the occasion of his shloshim. Just ask also the Olam, you know, Racheli Fine is a beautiful little girl within our kehila who's having some significant surgery today. Meretz Hashem, Shev Refuah Shlema. Let's just keep her in mind as you learn today, as you daven today, say an extra capital of Tilim, Rachel Batya Bas Leah. I hope that Meretz Hashem, she should have a complete and enduring refuah. But with that, let us begin. We have an incredible, incredible daf today. Every day is an incredible daf, but an additionally incredible daf. Today's daf is Kuf Nun Aleph 151, and we are picking up Meretz Hashem on the bad. Oh no, sorry. At the two dots of Aval Machshichin. Aval Machshichin. It's a 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Let me just grab a Shulchan Aruch. Coming back. Okay, good. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves for just a moment. So the Mishnah said as follows, Ava Machshichin. So remember again, that's a quote. That is a quote. Says, Aval Machshichin. So remember again, the Mishnah said, but you can go, essentially, very simply put, you can go to the edge of the Tchum on Shabbos to go ahead and prepare for something that, technically speaking, you could have done on Shabbos itself. So it says the Gemara, Va'afa gavdalo avdil. Now, one second, you're going to go to the edge of the Tchum. And I will say, the presumption is, what are you going to be doing? As soon as Shabbos is over, you're going to spring into action and do whatever it is that you need to do. But how can you go ahead and do any form of malach or do anything without Havdalah? And I will say, remember again, the interesting thing that Mishnah said was as follows, that you can go ahead and go to the edge of the Tchum, wait there until the end of Shabbos, as long as your intention was to do something that, technically speaking, you could have done on Shabbos. Once you're there already, then what? You can go ahead and do something that, quote unquote, would have been a malacha. That's fine. As long as your intention was to go ahead and do something permitted, you could also, after Shabbos, do something that would have been a malacha. But what about Abdallah? What happened to Abdallah? I'll say again, the assumption is if you're walking to the edge of the Tchum on Shabbos, that means after Shabbos, you're going to do whatever you're going to do, but you haven't made Abdallah. To which the Gemara says, and General Bossi, you're not allowed to do malacha on Matzah Shabbos until you do Abdallah. So maybe you'll say, okay, he made Abdallah in Ma'ariv. He said, Ata Chanan Tanu. That's enough. V'am Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Hamavdil B'tfilah, Zarek She Abdallah Kos. Or Yehuda said in Mishmuel, that if you go to make Havdallah in davening, you still have to make Havdallah Alakos, you still have to go to make Havdalah on a cup of wine. V'chitema da'avdil alakos. So okay, maybe you'll say, you know what, he was at the edge of the Tchum, but he made Havdalah on a cup of wine. Kos basada mi'ika. V'pashtas, if you're going to the edge of the Tchum, that means what? You're going to a place where there's not really any habitation. If there's no habitation there, so how are you going in and making Havdalah alakos? Suppose this is great. So the Gemara says, Targum Rabbi Nosson Ara'ami Kamedi Rava Ben Hagita Shanu. It's during wine pressing season, between the presses, where apparently everybody was pressing grapes to make wine. So there was wine available even in the fields. Okay, so there's a case. There's a case where you can even find wine in the field. The Gemara says, Amli Rabbi Abba Ravashi, Bama Rava Aminan. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to say the following. Hamavdil ben kodesh lachol va'avdinan tzarchin. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to say, they will say, Amase Shabbos, in order to do malacha, all you have to say is, Hamavdil ben kodesh lachol. Hamavdil ben kodesh lachol. Amravashi ki avina berev kahana hava amar. When I was in the house of Rav Kahana, they used to say Amatzi Shabbos, Hamavdil being called the Shlachol, Umisalsinon Salisi. When I was in the house of Ravashi, when I was in the house of Rav Kahana, Amatzi Shabbos, they would say Hamavdil being called the Shlachol, and they would chop wood. All right, so we'll say, so the Gemara is introducing us to a fascinating concept. Although there's Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, and although there's Havdalah al Hakos, all of which, again, Havdalah al Hakos is necessary. Havdalah in Shmona Esrei is also necessary, but if you didn't say it, you could be Otit Havdalah al Hakos. But apparently, if you want to be able to do Malacha immediately on Matzei Shabbos, all you have to say is Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. And I will say, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Reish Tzadik Tes, Sif Yud. So the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows, Asra Lasos Shul Malacha Kodem Sheyavdil. But it's a very important idea. You can't do Malacha before you make Havdalah. You'll say, but Shabbos is over. 9:01, Shabbos is over. What's the issue? Shabbos is not over until one makes a declarative statement. Until one does, let me take that back. Until one makes Havdalah. Just like, again, Shabbos starts by itself, but the Kedusha of Shabbos requires a recitation of Kiddush. Again, Shabbos starts even if you don't make Kiddush. But at the beginning, I need a declaration. Shabbos ends with a declaration as well. So we'll say, if you said atachar on tano, you could do malacha, even though you did not yet make havdalah on a cup of wine. Omer hamavdil, hamavdil beikodesh ubenachol, b'lo bracha va'osim malacha. So we'll say, that is indeed the halacha that's codified in Shulchan Aruch, which is, if you need to do malacha earlier on, so all you need to say is Hamavdil bin Kodesh Lachol, and then Malacha becomes permitted. But I will say, but this is very important. Just because Shabbos is over, that is not a license to do Malacha. There must be some type of Havdalah. If you said Atachan Antano, you could do Malacha. Of course, if you did Havdalah Alakos, of course you could do Malacha. But if for some reason neither of those are an option right now, Baruch Hamavdil bin Kodesh Lachol, and one is permitted to go ahead and do malacha. Very important halacha. Says the Gemara, klal amar v'shal. So we'll say v'shal said a klal. The klal was, the way the Mishnah articulated it was, kol sheni zakai b'amira, zo rashani l'hachshech alav. Anything that I'm allowed to say, that I'm allowed to say. So b'pashtos, what does it mean allowed to say? Either that I'm allowed to instruct someone to do, or I'm allowed to ask someone, anything I could instruct about on Shabbos, I could also go to the edge of the tchum for on Shabbos as well. So it says the Gemara, Abishal Ahiyo. What is Abishal commenting on? Ilema Areshakai. If you want to say he's commenting on the first part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, you cannot go ahead and go to the edge of the tchum to go ahead and hire workers. So if that's the case, tap of kofnon aleph, high koshani zakai bamiroso, roshani bechashichoso, then instead of saying anything that I'm allowed to say on Shabbos, I can go ahead and be machshech ala tchum. It should have said, kosheini zakai bamiroso, any roshai bechashichoso. Then it should have said, anything that I am not permitted to say, I am not permitted to go ahead and go to the edge of the tchum for. Ela Seifa, rather Abishal is referring to the end of the Mishnah. What's the end of the Mishnah? Ava machshich ulishmar umevi peros biyado. But a person can go to the edge of the tchum in order to go ahead and bring back fruit. Or I should say, he's able to go to the edge of the tchum to watch his field. Because remember, again, watching your field is something that is mutar on Shabbos. And once he's there, he can also bring back produce. If that's the case that Abishal is coming to say, if his klal is on that, Hai kosha ani zakai bachashichaso, rashe ani ba'amirasa mi ba'ile. Then Abishal should have phrased it, anything that I could wait at the edge of the tchum to do on Shabbos, I am also permitted to explicitly instruct on Shabbos. The olam ha-seifakai. You're right, Abishal is really referring to the last case in the Mishnah, the Abishal ha-hakai, and Abishal is referring to the following situation. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mutter li Adam lomar lechavero, shamar li peros shebetchumich, or shebetchumecha, vani eshmar lecha peros shebetchumich. So also listen to this. A person could say to his son, Reuven could say to Shimon, Shimon, listen, here's the deal. I have some produce in your tchum. You have produce in my tchum. I can't get to my produce because it's out of the tchum. You can't get to your produce because it's out of your tchum. So I have a great arrangement. I'll watch your produce in my tchum. you watch my produce in your tchum, and shalom Yisrael. So the Gemara says, V'kamar Abba Shaul Tanakama, Mila Modis the Mutter, and Abba Shaul would say to Tanakama, do you not agree that such an arrangement is totally mutter? The Gemara says, the mutter Adam Lomar Lachavero, Shamar Li Pero Shebetchume, Chavani Eshmar Lachapero Shebetchume. So, right, a person, Abba Shaul says, Tanakama, don't you agree that halacha l'maisa, this type of arrangement, is mutter? Ve'ema kol shani zakai ba'amira. So, Rashi ani lahach shechalav. And on that, Abba Shaul says, because anything that you are permitted to go ahead and instruct someone else to do, you are also permitted to go ahead and walk to the edge of your tchum on Shabbos so that you could perform it immediately after Shabbos. Therefore, we'll say Abba Shaul is commenting on the following case. That halacha l'maisa, I can make an arrangement with Reuven. You watch my produce that's in your tchum. I'll watch your produce that's in my tchum. That's permitted to say that on Shabbos, because we'll say the act of watching produce is in and of itself inherently permitted on Shabbos. So again, I have an issue that I can't access my stuff. You have an issue, you can't access your stuff. So no problem, I'll watch yours, you'll watch mine. So Abba Shaul says, such an arrangement, you would be permitted to go ahead, similarly, you would be permitted to go ahead and go to the edge of your tchum on Shabbos, in order that immediately upon Masi Shabbos, you can go ahead and watch your produce. So klal asuyemai. So what's in Abba Shaul says this, he says it as a klal, a general principle. So in general, when you have a general principle that comes to include something, so what does this come to include? So the Gemara says, lasuy hadetan rabbanon, ein machshich en ala tchum lahavi behema. So what's this actually interesting case? You cannot go to the edge of the tchum to go ahead and bring your animal back. So we'll say, let's say your animal ran away. So you can't, and let's say it ran out of the tchum, you can't go to the edge of your tchum in order to bring your animal back. Because the act of bringing your animal back would sometimes necessitate you picking up the animal. Picking up the animal, of course, on Shabbos would be aser. So because you can't pick up the animal on Shabbos, therefore what? Halacha l'maisa, so you can't go to the edge of the tchum either on Shabbos. On the other hand, but we'll say, let's say you're standing at the edge of the tchum, and your animal is right outside of the tchum, korela vihiba. What you can do is you can call your animal, and the animal could come back into the tchum. So you can say, here, boy, right? You could go ahead and call him back into the tchum, and that's totally permitted. Amar Abba Shaul, kol shani zakai bamiraso, rashe ani lahach shechalov. Abba Shaul says, therefore, anything that I am permitted to say, right, that I am permitted to instruct someone else to do, I am permitted to go to the edge of the tchum to do. Umachshichen lefakeach al iske kalo, val iske hameis. So this is actually going to be a subsequent Mishnah. You are permitted to go to the edge of the tchum in order to take care of the needs of a bride. Now, so we already learned this in yesterday's daf, because remember again, this goes back to the idea that you could go to the edge of the tchum for mitzvah purposes. For mitzvah purposes, so I can go to the edge of the tchum so that Matzei Shabbos, I'm immediately ready to take care of the chasana needs for a kala. Val iske hames, and similarly again, I could go to the edge of the tchum for to take care of the dead immediately after Shabbos. For example, the habila arm v'tachrichin, to go ahead and let's say bring back a casket and shrouds. Va'omrim lo, and I will say I can instruct someone on Shabbos, about what he has to do after Shabbos to take care of the needs of the dead or the needs of the kala. For example, I could say to him, Lech l'makom ploni, go to so-and-so place to get a casket and tachrichim. Vim lo matasu b'makom ploni, havei makom ploni. And by the way, if you don't find it in location A, location B, you're supposed to, this is now building on this. The same way that halacha l'maisa, I am permitted to go ahead and go to the edge of the tchum, so that immediately on Matzei Shabbos, I could take care of the needs of the dead or the needs of the kala. I could also instruct someone on Shabbos regarding what they need to do on Matzei Shabbos in order to take care of these things as well. So I can instruct someone to go ahead and say, listen, after Shabbos, go to location A to get the casket and the shrouds. And if you can't find it in location A, go to location B. So the Gemara says, Lo mazasu b'mana, havi b'masayma. I could also tell him, this is how much it should cost. If you don't find it for X amount of dollars, then you should pay Y amount of dollars. So I'll say, on this last point, Rabbi Yossi argues. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Obilvach lo yaskilo sikum mekach. So what Rabbi Yossi says, no. It's okay to instruct a person to do something Matzei Shabbos for mitzvah purposes. It's even okay to start giving him directions. It's even okay to start saying, if you can't find it in place A, go to place B. What can't you do? You can't talk dollars and cents. You can't talk dollars and cents. So we'll say, so remember again, even this is a fascinating balance. Because on one hand, we established in yesterday's daf that I can talk money when it comes to what? When it comes to tzarchi mitzvah. So this is all relative. So the idea over here is, Rabbi Yossi seems to say, listen, once you tell the guy you need to go ahead and get the casket and the Aron and the Tachrichim, he's going to know he has to get it. You don't have to start getting into finances. If, again, for the sake of a mitzvah, a financial discussion would be required, then inachinami, that would be permitted. Rabbi Yossi says, whenever possible, you can give directions, you can give instructions, but we try to avoid actual monetary discussions. Okay, interesting. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi says, now that we mentioned this Mishnah a number of times, now we're going to see it actually inside. Machshichin ala tchum, lefakeach al iskei chala. Kala, suppose I can go to the edge of the tchum to take care of the needs of a bride, va'al iskei hameis, and something again for the needs of the deceased, lahavila aron v'techrichin. So we'll say, in order to go ahead and bring a casket and shrouds. Okay, so I said that's the principle we've seen many times before. You can go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos so that immediately on Matzei Shabbos, I am ready to take care of these mitzvah needs. Nochri shehevi chalalin b'Shabbos. So we'll say if a Gentile brought flutes on Shabbos, lo yispot b'hen Yisrael. A Jew should not use them for eulogizing purposes. So we'll say this is actually pretty incredible. There used to be a practice, actually must have been very beautiful, at Jewish funerals, to play music, right? To go ahead and play a niggun, to play the flute. So we'll say, so what's the case over here? The case over here, someone died, a Jew died, and the Nachri went ahead and brought the flutes on Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells me that halacha lemaisa, I cannot use those flutes on Matzei Shabbos. So we'll say, this is a very important halacha. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, lo yispa ben Yisrael, li olam, uknasahu. So we'll say, Rashi says, and we're going to see, everyone else disagrees with this. Rashi says, you can never use those flutes. You can never use those flutes. And Rashi says, it's a penalty. Why? Mishun de mukhucha milsa de vishvilo huvu, de inderech lahavi chalalin ela bishilmei. So we'll say, what's the issue over here? What's happened over here in this case in the Mishnah is a non-Jew has performed malacha for a Jew on Shabbos. So a Jew died. The Nachri went ahead and brought the flutes on Shabbos. The Mishnah says you shouldn't use those flutes on Matzei Shabbos, right? Because you should not benefit from a malacha that a non-Jew did for a Jew. Now Rashi startlingly says you can never benefit from it forever. We're going to see that is not the halacha. When a non-Jew does a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, and it's clear that the non-Jew did it for the Jew, you cannot benefit from it immediately after Shabbos. Rather, you have to wait what's called b'chdei shiyasu. You have to wait the amount of time that it would take to perform the malacha on Matzei Shabbos, and then you could go in and benefit from the malacha. Now again, we'll see where Rashi's shita comes from. But the idea is, so if the non-Jew brought the flute on Shabbos, you can't use that immediately for a levi immediately after Shabbos. But let's say it would have taken him a half hour to travel. Halacha l'mais, you have to wait a half hour after Shabbos to go ahead and use it. The Gemara says, Imkein Balmi Makom Karov. Unless, of course, you know that the Nachri brought the flute from somewhere close. The Rabbos say somewhere close means within the tchum. So the concern over here, Rabbos say, what's the malacha involved over here? The malacha involved over here, according to Rashi, seems to be bringing something from outside of the tchum. So because he may have brought something from outside the tchum, therefore you have to wait on Matzei Shabbos, the amount of time that it would take. Unless, of course, if he was in the tchum, then you could use it immediately on Matzei Shabbos. Also, lo aron, the chavra lo kever. Simply again, let's say the Nachri fashioned a casket on Shabbos or dug a grave on Shabbos. You cover by Yisrael. You are permitted to go ahead and bury a Jew in it immediately. Now, both say, that must be talking about what kind of case. The non-Jew just stamped. He's a casket manufacturer. So he made a casket on Shabbos. Or he's a grave digger. So he dug a grave on Shabbos. Not for the Jew. He just made it. He just dug it. So that's the halacha. Because it wasn't made for the Jew could use it immediately after Shabbos. However, v'im bishvil Yisrael, lo yikaver ba'olamis. But if halacha l'maisa, the non-Jew made the casket or dug the grave for the Jew may never use it. So we'll say, again, remember, never over here is not going to mean never. Halacha lemaisa, never means you can't use it immediately after Shabbos. But halacha lemaisa, if you wait b'chdei shiyasu, then ultimately you could go ahead and use it. It says, Digimara mami makam karos was, let's analyze this. So the Mishnah said that if the Gentile brought the flutes on Shabbos, then halacha lemaisa, unless of course you know that he brought it mi makam karov, from a close place, you can't use it on Matzah Shabbos. So what's mi makam karov? Rav Amar mi makam karov mamish. So we'll say, Rav says the only way to use the flutes immediately after Shabbos is if you know with absolute certainty that the Nachri was in the Tchum on Shabbos. He was within the Tchum. Ushmuel Amar Chashinan Shemachot Lachom Olanu. Shmuel says, as long as there is the possibility that he was in the Tchum, that's enough. We'll say, see, hidden machlokis over here. So Rav says, in order to be able to use it immediately after Matzei Shabbos, you must know with absolute certainty that the Nachri was in the Tchum. And therefore, no malacha was really involved in the bringing of the flutes. Shmuel says, no, you don't have to know with certainty. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shmuel Amar Chashin Hashem Mechutz Lachom Olanu, Afilo Hevi Mechutz La'ir Anu Tolin Lahatir Va'om Shem Chutz HaTchum Shem HaBeso HaTchum Lanu Erev Shabbos V'sof Tima Matzei Shabbos. Yes, we'll say, Shmuel says, you don't have to know with certainty that the Nachri is in the Tchum. As long as there's a possibility, as long as it's within the realm of possibility that the Nachri is in the Tchum on Shabbos, then halacha lemaisa, you could use the flutes immediately after Shabbos. Deka maslisin kabasi de Shmuel, and the Mishnah seems to support Shmuel. Why? Diktani asalo aron v'chafra lo keber. If the Nachri made a casket or he dug a grave, you cover bo Yisrael. Ultimately, again, you could bury a Jew in it. Now we'll say alma misveka shari. Then I will say, now understand, what's that case? What's the case? The Nachri made a casket, the Nachri dug a grave. So the way the Gemara is understanding that case is, we don't know who the Nachri dug it for or who he made the casket for. But again, essentially what the Mishnah is saying is, unless you explicitly know that it was made for the Jew, you could assume that what? That it wasn't. So if the Nachri said, Chaim Yankel was my lifelong friend, it's such a kavod for me to dig his grave and make his casket on Shabbos, okay, then you know it's for the Jew. But in the absence of an explicit knowledge that the casket was made for the Jew and the grave was dug for the Jew, then Allah HaMais, you could assume that it wasn't made for the Jew. So we'll say this supports Shmuel. Shmuel says essentially the only time we assume a Nachri did something for a Jew, or Nachri, or for that matter again, or the Nachri was outside of the Tchum, is if you know for sure that he did it for the Jew, he was outside of the Tchum. But if there's a possibility that it wasn't done for the Jew, possibly that he was inside the Tchum, then that is good enough. So the Gemara says, Alma Misveka Shari. Therefore you see, as long as there's a Safek, as long as, again, there's a possibility that he was within the Tchum, or there was a possibility that he did not make this for the Jew or dig this for the Jew, it's going to be Mutra immediately after Shabbos. Hachnai Misveka Shari. V'tanya Kavasi Dirav. So what's we have a Bresa that supports Rav. Ir Sheis Rav Nachim Darim Ba. If you have a city that had both Jews and non-Jews in it, and there was a bathhouse that was open on Shabbos. Im rov nochrim la'erev rocheitz b'miyah. So we'll say if the majority of the city dwellers are non-Jews, then halacha lemaaseh a Jew could use the bathhouse immediately on Matzei Shabbos. We'll say, what are we concerned about? We're concerned about the fact that the water may have been warmed up for the Jewish population on Shabbos. If that's the case, then the bathhouse attendant performed the malacha for Jews. So what does the Braisa say? If the majority of the inhabitants of the city were non-Jewish, then you could assume anything the bathhouse attendants did was not for the Jews, but was for the non-Jews. Therefore, again, halacha lemaaseh, a Jew could use the bathhouse immediately after Shabbos. However, in Rov Yisrael, but if there's a majority of Jews, yamtin ad kdei sheyachamu chamu. And then on Matzei Shabbos, we'll say, you have to wait. You can't use the bathhouse immediately. You wait what we call in halacha, bichdei sheyasu. You wait the amount of time that it would take to heat up the water. Mechza. What happens if it's 50% Jewish, 50% not Jewish? Aser v'yamtin ad kedei she'achamu chamin. In that case, we'll say you have to wait. Give it the amount of time that it takes to heat up the water after Shabbos. You see from here that what? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, in a case of safek, you are on the side of caution, which would be like Rav. Rav Yehuda Omer, bambati kitana, if it's a small bath, im yesh ba rashus, rochitz ba miyad. If there's a rashus who lives in town, the Jew could use it immediately. What does that mean? My rashus. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Yitzchak, braid Rav Yehuda, im yesh ba adam chashuv. If there's an important person who lives in town, what's in the definition of important person? Sheyesh la asara abadim, who has at least 10 servants, so that who warm him up, 10 jugs of water at once. In other words, we'll say, so essentially, he could have a hot bath instantaneously. So, again, the exception to this rule would be, if you live in a city where there's a very small bath, so a Jew, and there's a Rosh, so there's an important official who lives there, who has 10 servants, who essentially could draw him a hot bath immediately. On Matzei Shabbos, a Jew could use that bath immediately, even if it's half Jews, half Gentiles, because Lamaisa, such a bath could have been warmed up immediately on Matzei Shabbos. Fine. So we'll say, so what you begin to see over here is a fundamental machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, regarding the Makom Karuv. That if I don't know where the non-Jew brought the flutes from, so what's the halacha? Do I need to know that the non-Jew was absolutely in the tchum, or is it just enough to have the possibility that he was in the tchum? So Rav says, no. In order to be able to use the flutes immediately on Matzei Shabbos, you must know with certainty that the Gentile was within the tchum on Shabbos, at the start of Shabbos. Shmuel says, you don't have to know with certainty. As long as there's a possibility that he was within the tchum, that is absolutely enough. Good, I will say, the halacha is like Shmuel. The halacha is like Shmuel. As long as there's a possibility, someone else will say, so this is very important because sometimes you get something delivered. You want to know, can you use it Matzei Shabbos, immediately Matzei Shabbos or not? So look, if the Gentile dropped it off, says, wow, I've been driving all night to deliver this package to you. Okay, that's a pretty good indication. You have to wait a little bit after Shabbos to use it. But Lamaisa, if you don't know, right, you don't know the Amazon guy dropped something off on Shabbos, you know, you could, the halacha is that you could assume that someone was in the tchum. Again, this is not talking about opening or using packages on Shabbos. Well, Meretzeshem will talk about that as well. But Lamaisa, this is Matzei Shabbos. Shmuel says, as long as there's the possibility that halacha Lamaisa, the item was in the tchum on Shabbos, at the start of Shabbos, you could use it immediately Matzei Shabbos. Beautiful. So the Mishnah goes, the Gemara goes weiter. Aslo Aron v'chafru lo kever. So remember again, the Mishnah says that if the Gentile dug a grave or made a casket, so the Jew could use it immediately after Shabbos. Amai, hachinami yamtin b'chtei shiyasu. I understand, why could I use it immediately after Shabbos? Should I not have to wait? B'chtei shiyasu, should I not have to wait the amount of time afterwards in order to go ahead and the amount of time that it would have taken to go ahead and fashion the casket or dig the grave? To which the Gemara says, Amar ula ba'omed b'estaria. So this is actually very interesting. Where was the grave situated? The grave was situated by the side of the road. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Three lines up from the bottom of Rashi. Ba'omeit hakever b'sracha she'en derech Yisrael l'kover sham devadei lo na'asa b'shul. So this is fascinating. So apparently it was common amongst the Gentile nations to bury people by the side of the road. Jewish cemeteries were much more organized. So what happened? The Nachri in question dug a grave by the side of the road. That's a pretty good indicator that this was not done for a Jew, because Jews would not normally use such a grave. So in a situation like that, where it's almost pretty abundantly clear that it was done for the sake of the Nachri, therefore the Jew could use it immediately, Matzei Shabbos, without waiting. So the Gemara says, Teinach kever. That's fine, that works for the case of the grave. What about the case of the casket? So Michael, Amar Yavo b'muta al kivro. I'll say, what's the case? It was a package deal where the Nachri went ahead and dug the grave and also fashioned the casket and put the casket right next to the grave. So it's one-stop shopping, right? You go out and you get the casket, you get the grave all in one. The fact that the casket was put by the grave indicates that the Nachri had in mind, whoever's going to use the grave is going to use the casket. And since the grave was dug in such a way that a Jew would not normally use such a grave like this, therefore, halacha lemaisa, the Jew could use it immediately after Shabbos without waiting. Good, says the Mishnah. osin kol tzarche ame. So we'll say now that we're talking about the dead. So the Mishnah goes on to say, what are you allowed to do to a dead body on Shabbos? So osin kol tzarche ame. So you can take care of all of the needs of the deceased on Shabbos. Sochin, you can put oil on the body. So we'll say, when we say take care of all the needs, remember, the one thing you can't do is you can't move a body on Shabbos because a body is muktzah. What you can do is do other things that would slow decomposition. That's the idea over here. So the Mishnah says, Sachin, you could put oil on it. Madichin, also you could wash the body. Because remember again, the act of pouring oil on it doesn't require you to move the body. Pouring water on it doesn't require you to move the body. Ubavachlo yazis, bo'ever. But you can't move a limb of the body. Shomtenes hakar mitachtov, you could remove the pillow or the mattress underneath the body. We'll say there is a halacha that when a person dies, we put the body on the floor. Now, interestingly enough, that's a very practical halacha because the floor is cold and that slows decomposition. That's the idea. So therefore, what you could do on Shabbos is you could pull out the mattress or pull out the pillow underneath the body so that the body could sit on the floor. Umatilin also alachol, you can put the body on sand, bishvil, she'amidei she'yamtin. In order that, again, you slow down, yamtin means you slow down decomposition. Rashi says, shlo yasviach. Koshunes halachi, you could tie the jaw. They both say sometimes the concern was that if a person dies and the mouth opens up, that air could get into the body and cause bloating. So what you could do is you could tie the jaw. So again, essentially, if you can imagine, you would just like take a bandage and like tie it underneath the chin, pulling the chin up. Koshunes halachi, lo shiyala, not in order that the mouth ultimately, again, be fully closed, ela shelo yosef, but rather that the mouth should not open any further. So sometimes again, you know, that the mouth opens more and more, so you want to prevent that from occurring. V'chein korah shenishpara, so to both say, if a person has a beam in their house that broke, somchinosa besafsal, you can go ahead and bring a bench to support the broken beam, o baruko samita, or with the bedpost, lo shetale, not in order to put the beam back into place, but what? Ela shelo tosif, in order that the beam should not fall further. So this is very interesting. So apparently on Shabbos, halacha lemaisa, we wouldn't necessarily close back up the mouth of the mace, but what you would do is tie it in place so that it doesn't open up any further. Says the Gemara of Hamra, the Yudam Rishmuel, Maisa betamidosh Rabbi Meir, shenichnas achra lebeis hamercha. So let's listen to this. One time, the sons of Rabbi Meir followed his Rebbe into the bathhouse. And what happened? Bikesh la'adiach karko. He wanted to put oil on the floor, right, to sweep, literally to sweep up the floor. Amarlo ein madichin. So I should say sweep up the floor. So Rabbi Meir told him, you can't sweep floors. We spoke of this before. Sweeping of floors could be a problem of hashva'os gumos, leveling out the floor. In the field, that could be an issue ultimately, again, of planting. Inside a house, it could be an issue of building. Losuch karka. So the Talmud wanted to go and put oil on the floor. Amarlo ein sochin. Says, no, you can't go ahead and put oil on it. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that ultimately, again, Rashi points out there's something that you can't move, something that's muktzah, you can't put oil on it either. So halacha lemaisa, then why are you permitted to apply oil to the mace? Karka bekarka michlafa, because we'll say, we're concerned to allow you to put oil on earth. Why? Because if we allow you to put oil on earth, you may come to go ahead and sweep it. However, mace bekarka lo michlaf, Rabbi will say, we're not concerned that if you come to go ahead and put oil on the mace, that you'll come to move him. So the Gemara says, "Kol asuye mai." So when we say you can do anything to take care of the dead, what is that coming to include? So the Gemara says, "Lasuha de tan rabbanon mevi'en clay maker ukli matachos umanichen al kreso." You can go ahead and say clay maker means cold utensils. Cold utensils. Rashi says, "Shemevi'en kriyos kvilon schuches, like glass." So utensils that are inherently cold. Uklimatakos, metal utensils, umanichin al kreso kidesh lo tafuach. And you could put it on the stomach of the mace in order that he doesn't become bloated. So that's the idea. So we put cold utensils on the stomach of the mace so that bloating doesn't occur. Upokagin es nakabov, you could plug up all of the orifices of the mace, kidesh lo tikanis bahen aruach, in order that air not come in, and again, avoid bloating. Viaf Shlomo Amar v'chachmaso, Shlomo also said in his wisdom, Ad quotes over here the pasuk from Koheles. Ad asher lo yirasek chevel hakesef. So I'll say, so before ultimately, again, literally the silver rope breaks. What is that a reference to? Zechut hashedra. That refers to the spinal cord. Vataraz gulatz hazav. The golden bowl will be broken. Ze'amo. That refers to the aver. Vitishaber kad ala mavua. And the jug will break on the fountain. Ze'akeres. This refers to the stomach. Vinarutz hagalgol el habor. And literally, again, the wheel will be broken into the pit. Ze peresh, that refers to excrement. V'chinu omer, v'zarisi peresh al pineichem u'peresh chageichem. So again, here quotes the pasuk from Malachi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, obviously upset with Klal Yisrael, says, and I will spread the excrement on your face, the excrement of your holidays. What does that mean? Amar Avuna v'amiridei, Amar Avchag, Elu b'nei Adam. Well, let's listen to this. Shemanichin divrei Torah va'osin kol yimeim kechagin. This refers to people who forsake Torah and make every day like a yomtiv. So we'll say, in other words, they don't focus on their spirituality, and instead are solely focused on just physical pleasure. Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar Rabbi Papi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, la'achar shloshi yamim. If a person, right after 3 days after a person died, kresa nivkaas, his stomach opens up, v'nafeles alpanav, and the contents of the stomach are sprayed on his face. Va'omer lo, and the stomach tells the person, tol mashina satabi, take what you put into me. So this is a reference to someone who overindulges. So the Gemara says, a person overindulges in life, and ultimately, again, is totally focused on physical pleasure. So when they die, the stomach opens up, they releases all of the food onto the face, and the stomach says, okay, you plied me with all of this here, take it back. Which I will say is an incredible yusod, that after a person leaves this world, so ultimately, again, the shaila is, what do you leave behind? Do you leave behind the full stomach? Is that the extent of my accomplishments in this world? That I filled my stomach, I enjoyed myself, I had partaken of physical pleasures, is that it? If that's it, then the stomach says to the face, here, you gave it to me, now I'm giving it back to you. Obviously, an incredible musr. I will say, what's the legacy we leave behind? What are the things that we place our emphasis on? What do we put our energies into? Incredible yisod. Says the Mishnah, Ein ma'amtsin, ein ma'atzamin es hames b'shabbos. We'll say you cannot close the eyes of a person who died on Shabbos. Because you can remember, which makes sense, the movement of the eyelids is movement of muktzah. V'lo b'chol, emi'etzas nafsh. We'll say there's another point in your soul. You can't close the eyes of a person as they are dying. V'amatsim emi'etzas nafsh. Because if you close someone's eyes as they are dying, hare ze shofech domim. That is tantamount to murder. Because we'll say the halacha is anything a person does to hasten death, even if a person is definitely going to die, anything one does to accelerate death, even by a couple of moments, is shvichos damim, is murder. So someone's about to die and you close their eyes before they die, because it could be construed as an act of hastening death, and therefore shvichos damim. Tan rabbanan, hama'atzmo im yitzias ha'nefesh, harei ze shofech damim. If someone closes the eyes of a person who is dying, as he is dying, that is bloodshed. Mashal aner shekava v'holeches. This can be compared to a flickering candle. Adam maniach etzbo alav. We'll say if you have a flickering candle, the moment you put your hand by that candle, what happens? It's extinguished. It's extinguished. Miad kavsa. So Rabbi will say, if a person's candle is flickering, when you go ahead and you close their eyes, you are hastening their death. It's important you sowed. Just because I know the person is going to die does not in any way diminish the impact, the meaning, and the importance of every moment of life. So to do something that is going to actively hasten the death of a person is shvichus damim, is murder. No different than if you, chas v'shalom, killed a person in the prime of their life. So the Chazal said that the act of closing someone's eyes hastens their death. So Tanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, harotze sheis atzmu enav shameis. We'll say, what happens again? So now on Shabbos, I cannot close the eyes of a mace, right? But let's say again, I want the mace's eyes to close, but I can't do it myself. So what can you do? Nofeach lo yayin bechotmo. So apparently, if you spray or blow wine into the nostrils of the mace, the eyes close. Okay. Or nosin shemen benise enough. Or if you put oil by the eyelashes, that I guess we'll say the oil of the eyelashes, Rashi indicates, is the weight of the oil causes the eyelashes to move, or va'ochez b'shnei godli raglav. Apparently, if you pull the big toes of the mace, the eyelids close. Okay, behemis atzame elehin. Terem shimulim, shimulim is such an incredible yisod. Tinok ben yomo chai, mechalana basa Shabbos. A one-day-old baby, you're mechal Shabbos to save that baby. David melech Yisrael mace, but yet David melech Yisrael, if he's dead, ein mechalana basa Shabbos. You are not mechal Shabbos. Rabbi says such an incredible yisod. The power of life, right? The power of life. So you have a one-day-old baby, mechal Shabbos to that baby. David melech Yisrael is lying dead, you can't be mechal Shabbos for him. Tinok ben Yomo mechal Shabbos. Why can mechal Shabbos for to save the baby? Amra Torah. This is supposed to say in general is why can you be mechal Shabbos to save someone? Amra Torah. Chilel alav Shabbos echod kadesh sheyishmar Shabbos as harbe. The logic is if you're mechal one Shabbos, the person will be able to merit Hashem to keep many Shabbosos. David Melech Yisrael Meis ain mechalin alav. But yet, if David HaMelech is dead, you cannot be Mechal Shabbos. And why? Kevan Shemes Adam Batal Min HaMitzvos. Because it was said, at the end of the day, this is incredible. Why are you allowed to Mechal Shabbos for a Pikuach HaNefesh? Because the idea is, be Mechal one Shabbos so that you pave the way for a lifetime of dynamic activity. That's the idea. But once a person is dead, there is no more dynamic activity. Batal Min HaMitzvos. This is Rabbi Yochanan's son. B'meisim chavshi, kevan shemeis adam, na'aseh chavshi min ha-mitzvah. So both say, this is an incredible yisod. Because the scariest part of death is not the cessation of life. The scariest part of death is the inability to engage in dynamic spiritual growth. When I die, whatever I have amassed in this world, that is what I have for all eternity. When I'm alive, in any given moment, I could do a mitzvah. In any given moment, I could perform an act of chesed. In any given moment, I could learn Torah. But once I die, whatever I have, I'm chavshi, I'm free. No more responsibility, no more growth, no more dynamic activity. Such an incredible yisod. The Tanya. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. Litanya, B'shur Elazar Omer, Tinok Ben Yomo, Ein Tzarech L'Shomra Minachbarim. Let's listen to this. A one-day-old baby who's alive, you don't have to guard that baby from being eaten by a weasel or from mice. Aval Og Melech HaBashar Mace, but I will say, Og Melech HaBashar was a giant. Once he dies, Tzarech L'Shomra Minacholdo Minachbarim. We'll say, there you have to watch his body, that it shouldn't be devoured by the mice, right, or from the weasel. Shenemar umora achem bechitchem yihye. Kozman shadam chai, emasa mutalas ala bris. So whenever a person is alive, so by definition, there's a natural fear of people upon the animal kingdom. Kevan shemes, but leimasa. Once a person dies, that fear is no longer felt by the animal kingdom. We'll say, isn't this an incredible yisod? Right? So ultimately, again, when I'm alive, then I have mastery, or I have a certain level of shlita over the world. Once a person is dead, that shlita is gone. Such an incredible yisod. So the Gemara says, "Amar Papa, Naktinon Arye Abe Tre Lo Nafil." So Papa said, "We have a mesora, right? We have an idea that a lion never attacks two people." The Gemara says, "That's an excellent point. There's only one problem. Haka Chazinan De Nafil." But we've seen lions attack two people. We'll say this is incredible. Kidrami Bar Chaba. Kidrami Bar Abba. Excuse me. Dami Rami Bar Abba. Ein chaya sholetes ba'adam ad shenidma lo kibehema. Wow. An animal only attacks a person. We'll say when? When? When the person no longer looks like a person. When the person looks like an animal, so animals attack other animals. But when the person ultimately, again, holds himself and lives like a person, the animal doesn't attack. Shneamar Adam Bikar Bayolin Nimshal Kabehemos Nidmu. So we'll say ultimately again, when it's Kabehemos Nidmu, when a person is like a person, then ultimately again the animals aren't afraid of him. When a person is like an animal, so animals attack animals. When the person is like a person, then ultimately there's a natural fear of the person upon animals. So we'll say such an incredible yisod. Person should not sleep alone in a home. And whoever sleeps alone in a home, the shade lilis could take over him, could have a negative impact on him. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, we'll say this is incredible. An she'ata motzei u'matzei lecha va'odcha biyadcha. So Rav Shimon Elazar says, look at Rashi for just a moment. Asay, he says, asay, he's talking about tzedakah. Make sure to give tzedakah, ad she'ata motzei, while you find someone to give tzedakah to, u'matzei lecha, and you have mama, and you have money, va'odcha biyadcha, and you are still alive. But we'll say, you hear this incredible yisod? Asay, give tzedakah, ad she'ata motzei, when you find someone to give tzedakah to, u'matzei lecha, and you have money, va'odcha biyadcha, and you're still alive, you have the ability to do the mitzvah. So you hear this yisod? So many times in life we procrastinate. So many times in life we kick the can down the road. Not now, it's not the right time. I don't want to accomplish something, there's an opportunity, not the right time. When's the right time? I don't know, but I know for sure it's not now. Tomorrow I'm busy. Next week, still not good. A year from now, I think I have something on my calendar. And you go through an entire lifetime, and you lose out on such dramatic opportunities. The Gemara says, an opportunity presents itself, take it. Again, the Gemara is phrasing this with tzedakah. You have an opportunity, there's somebody who needs something, you have money and you're alive, give it. But we'll say tzedakah is just the model. This is true for anything in life. An opportunity presents itself, you have the wherewithal, you're alive, you could do it, do it. Don't procrastinate. We'll say, Shlomo says, remember your Creator when you're young. Before the bad days come. Both say, what are the bad days? Elu yimei zikna. The bad days are old age. Now, both say, let's clarify this. Why are bad days? Why is old age bad days? Both say, it's not because old age is bad. Chas v'shalom. But what it's saying is, as you get older, you don't have the same physical vigor. So because I don't have the vigor, I can't do things as easily as I did them when I'm young. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Zachar es barecha bimei b'churasecha. Remember your Creator when you are young. V'igiyu shanim, because time will come, asher tomar im lebem chefetz, because about that time will come when you will say, I no longer have the desire. When do I no longer have the desire? El yemei HaMashiach. But say there first, the Messianic era. Shein bem lo zchus v'lo chova. Because also the Messianic era, this is incredible. This is incredible. In the Messianic era, there's no longer reward and punishment. But say, bless you, why is there no longer reward and punishment? Because in the Messianic era, the need and the truth of serving God becomes so clear and self-evident that it's no longer a test. It's no longer a challenge, right? Because the mindset, at the end of the day, it's so clear that I'm supposed to be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, if it's so clear, you don't get reward if there's no challenge. Shmuel says there's no difference between this world and the Messianic era. Elo shibud malchias bilvad shenemar ki lo yechtal evyon bekeref haaretz. So we'll say, so this happens to be a fundamental machlokus regarding the Messianic era, which is really quite fascinating in general. How do we view the Messianic era? Is the Messianic era ultimately, again, going to be a totally dramatically different time? That seems to be the first opinion, right? Whereas Shmuel says, no, pretty much Messianic era is still, you know, you're going to pay your bills, life is going to go on, there's going to be poverty, there's going to be wealth, there's going to be all these things. The difference just is there'll be universal belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Rabbi say is a pretty dramatic thing. You look at the world as it is, can you imagine if the world believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam, how different the world would be now? So we'll say, but the point of it, the Gemara is making, Shlomo Melech says, this phrase Rabbi say, you know, this is very apropos, because at the end of the day, this phrase of Zachar es barecha bimei b'churasecha, remember your Creator when you are young, is perhaps one of the most important phrases used in tshuva literature. Right, and again, it's almost Yamim Noraim. Now, this is the period already after Tisha B'Av. It's Yamim Noraim. Zachar Sparecha Nebuchu Rasecha. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're young. Don't wait until you get old, or don't wait till some later stage in life to do the spiritual things you have to do. Remember your Creator when you are young. Because ultimately, again, if you wait to the old days, right, you wait till old age, wait till the Messianic era, it's not the same. Whatever you have to do in life, do it now when you're young. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaKafra, Omer, the Olam Yivakish Adam Rachma Amidazu, She'im Hu Lo Ba. Supposed to say, a person should always ask Rachma. Supposed to say, this is incredible. A person should always daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should be saved from poverty. They should be saved from poverty. Why? Because Shem Hu Lo Ba Bino. Vim Bino Lo Ba Ben Bino Ba. Because we'll say, why? Because if I don't suffer from poverty, My children will suffer from poverty. And if I don't, my children will suffer from poverty, my grandchildren will suffer from poverty. How can you say such a thing like this? Shneimar ki biglal hadavar hazeh. Tarnit b'Rabbi Shmuel galgal hu shechozer olam. We'll have to stop over here. Poverty is a wheel. Poverty is cyclical. So we'll say, inevitably, at some point in time, every mishpacha suffers from poverty. So a person should realize, even if I am privileged that I'm not suffering from poverty, I should make sure to daven for my children, to daven for my grandchildren, because poverty is a gal hamiskalgel. It is a wheel that constantly turns. So therefore, even if you have been spared, daven for your mishpacha. All right, so we'll say more incredible Gemara, like we have another day of Agadah tomorrow. More incredible Gemara tomorrow. We'll say Yeshikoyach.